Hey, we're going to have some fun tonight on the 4 Outdoorsman. Strew Man here, Mark Lukey. Sam is fishing on Leech Lake. He'll be talking to us in about 10 minutes or so. He'll be calling in. Brandon's behind the glass. Nick. Oh, look at Nick. Mark's kid, Nick, just looked up. And one of these days, we'll get him on the air. But right now, he's still a little
It'll
bit.
It'll be a while.
He's a little bit, but not if I hang on. Nicky boy. And Simone Sherrill's right next to me as well. Our special in-house guest. Nicky boy, look what Strew Man's got. Look what Strewman. Oh, I got it.
It's like a dog treat.
No, it's not a dog treat. It's a venison sausage stick. Does he like that stuff?
Yeah, he does.
Nick, try this. It's good.
That's a lot of pressure.
They're really good. We'll give this to Simone and Mark after the show so we can talk.
You already fed me White Castle.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do to me?
I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, no.
You are.
No, because Mark's body doesn't body does not react for over an hour. You're okay. You're okay. Yeah, but your wife,
I beg to differ.
But your wife April will love me when you go home after eating White Castle and venison sticks.
I haven't had White Castle in at least 10 years, and that's a very Strew thing. He just walks in with a bag of burgers.
No. I like to share, man. I share everything.
We used to have a case day in college. A case of White Castles and a case of beer in one day.
Oh, my God.
It was a challenge. And
one human being is going to try that?
Yeah, we all did it. Yep.
You've done that?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you go the next day?
Nowhere.
You stayed in one little room. You stayed in I should have gone to your college, you know, but...
I didn't learn much.
See, Simone, all the stuff we missed when we were young people, because Mark is he's crazy. Simone, sure, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
You know, I'm telling you what, I you know how I just think you're a nice looking lady, you're a fun lady and all, but you look a little exhausted, like you had.
You know what? Last weekend the ladies and I went out and slaughtered 55 geese. We took off the fields for these farmers, and we had a heck of a time. It was warm. It was hot.
Oh,
we
yeah.
even cleaned them all.
Oh my God!
Ourselves, wow. I know. Yes.
Did you have one of those breast hitch things? Have you ever seen those?
Yes,
things?
We did have the hitch.
Does it work?
It works. It yeah. works okay. You really have to have some muscle for it. I don't know. I'm not. The first day it was 40. The second day it was 15. I'm by number 38. I was. Done.
You were ready
oh
to stop.
Oh my gosh.
Explain to a young man like myself who's never really even cleaned a goose.
Okay.
What in God's name is a breast hitch? What is that? How does that help you clean a goose?
Okay. So it's kind of like the shape of a triangle, and they can put it on the back of like a pickup truck or the hitch of a vehicle, which gives you the stability.
Yep.
And then you turn the bird over, and then you're going to kind of go from the breastbone at the bottom. And you put it's like a knife, so it's top of the triangle, and you slide that down, and you yank it really big, and then you kind of push this arm down, and it takes all the insides away from it. But the downside is when we also were hunting in South Dakota, so we had to keep a wing on for transportation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was why. So then we literally completely the whole breast cavity, and then we kept a wing on. And you're peeling back the skin. Flies are around. It was 90 degrees.
Yeah. You know, if you were laying in ground blinds, right?
I mean, yeah, they're coffins. Layout blinds.
All right. And yep. I did it once with.
Do you say coffins?
Yeah, they're like coffins, yeah. I did it with Maxed Out Guides one time as well, years ago, early in the radio show.
Yep. I remember ripping on you for having a purple hat.
Yeah, I did.
Like, we're all decked out in camo, and Strew just rolls up in, like, a blaze hat.
I said, we're going to be in a coffin. Who gives a rat's butt? But and I tell you what, and it was a nice morning, but we had to go out to Buffalo someplace out there and a farmer field.
And
it was cool because when we went out there, these guys, they work hard. They probably had 100 decoys out there. They were out there at 3:30 or 4 in the morning. We got out there at 5:30, 6, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all ready for you. And you lay in these, what do you call it?
Layout blinds.
Layout blinds.
Yep.
And it was a fairly nice day. I can't picture being in one of those ones like 90 degrees.
Well, it's not that warm in the morning, but it was 78 degrees.
Yeah, that's
so. We were in t-shirt. It was warm. It was warm. But you know what? Graham Gresseth does a great job. Maxed Out Guides does a wonderful job. His wife, Andrea, was one that was hunting with us. We had a girl. Her name is Megan. She drove all the way from Nebraska by herself.
Good for her.
I know. 25 years old and decided to come up. Knew nobody.
Yeah.
And then Sherry Bergman. She's also with Bo, becoming an Outdoor Woman's of the DNR. She was with us, too. We had a great time. We were shooting really well, and the guides do a wonderful job. And they are also doing another one. I won't be able to be there, but it's Black Friday. So instead of shopping, ladies can do a Black Friday hunt, Metro Goose Hunt, late season, on that Friday after Thanksgiving.
You know, I met Andrea. Her name is Andrea, right?
His wife, yeah. Yes.
Before, when he was, they were just courting.
Okay.
And I met her at station, what's it called?
280.
280.
Yeah.
And I just told, and we looked at each other, Graham and I, and I said, man, this is keeper, but that's a 27-inch wall right there, pal. You got to hang on to that one. Because I said, she's hot. And she was a very attractive lady. A nice lady.
Very
and I'm so
woman.
Glad for them they found each other. Everyone deserves to be happy. You know, so how many ladies you had there, and how many ladies had hunted before? All of them?
You know what all of us had done. I should take that back. Megan from Nebraska got her very first goose with us. She had done a little bit hunting before, but that was her very first goose. We had another girl that was supposed to come up from Indiana, but she canceled last minute. So, but that's okay. We really, really had a great, great time. There were some other gentlemen in camp with us. They did not do as well.
Well, good for you guys.
At all. In fact, they're probably a little jealous, I know, for a matter of fact. He looked at me, he goes, well, how many boxes of shells did you take?
And yeah, I said, right.
What do you mean? Well, did you go through what, like 3, 4, 5 boxes of shell? And I'm like, a matter of fact, I went through one and I had like 2 shells left. So
good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say, do you know who I am?
I did not.
I would have.
Yeah, I know. I don't drop that. But later on, Ashley, I should mention her too. She's Graham's sidekick, does all of his bookings and stuff. She was with us. She does not shoot, but she's a trooper. She got up at 4 a.m. and laid in the blinds with us and observed. And after I had left, she said, do you realize who you were? And then there was a little bit of shock.
Yeah, good. Isn't that cool?
That's okay.
It reminds me of Adele. This is not even about honey, but Adele did. She's extremely talented, but most beautiful voice in the world, darn near her. And Celine Dion are my two of my favorite, most beautiful female voices. And she was doing, she entered an Adele tribute contest. And she had makeup on, different nose and all that kind of thing. And it was so cool to watch these ladies sing and everyone's clapping. And she came out and she sang, and they went, holy moly, who is this young lady? And it took them a while when they realized who it was.
It was actually
yeah, just like that.
Did she win?
No, right. Yeah. That was fun. That was funny.
So, yeah, no, that was a really good time. And then coming up this Wednesday, I get to take Mark on in the field again, show him what a pheasant looks like, you know, stuff like that. So
now, he has an excuse this time, though, because he's not going to be able to walk through the middle of the stuff.
The sorghum.
The sorghum you guys walk through, because this big man has a bad back. So you have to give him a little bit of slack this time.
Yeah, well, he tried to earn slack last time.
That didn't work, yeah.
But I've seen him walk now, and he's going to have to be in the aisle.
Let's get back to the goose hunting thing. The first time, Mark, the second time we went, Sam's on pretty soon. The second time was with you, with those guys. But the first time I went by myself, met Graham out in Buffalo. It was a beautiful morning. And I went out there with I've got shells in a Target bag. Or it might have been a Walmart bag. And 2 boxes of shells, like opium. I'm not the best bird hunter by any means. What was the reason you took these ladies out?
Graham is trying to, because I think there's a big boom of this. We have a lot of women that are getting into the outdoors. We have a lot of women that are interested in hunting. And a lot of times, if we put all of us ladies together, there's less pressure.
Absolutely.
Sometimes, you know, you have to be pretty confident in quick crawl and draw, especially if you're hunting with men that have a lot of experience and stuff like that. So this is just kind of fun. It's not as competitive. Men are way more competitive than women, I believe. So, yeah, it's just to get women into the outdoors.
Hang on, one more question. Hey, hang on, Sam boy. Hang on. Were the men hunting near you in the same area you were?
No. Our group was just our group.
Okay, so who did the calling?
We had the guides.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Love that part of it.
Yep. We had Graham was calling, and we had a couple of our guys, Mike and Sailor, were in there doing the calling too, and that was it. Otherwise, they were great. They let us do a lot of shooting first, and then sometimes maybe they'd back us up just because we said, you guys can, you know, this is ridiculous. We were doing really well.
Yeah.
Super well. But
good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Simone Sherup. But in the meantime, I think our buddy Sam from Leech Lake, Minnesota is on the line right now. Sam, are you there, friend?
I am here, guys. How you doing? Hey, Simone.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good. I'll see you Wednesday as well.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, are the walleyes biting?
They are. We had a phenomenal day yesterday. We got up here Friday. My cousin has a cabin on Leech here, and we got up on Friday and didn't fish because it was super, super white cappy. So we went and played a round of golf, which was fun. But then yesterday we got a guide, and we pounded them. It was a lot of fun. We caught our limits, but, I mean, we threw back a lot of stuff. And my little cousin, who's 17, whose dad owns the cabin here, it was like his second walleye ever caught, and it was 27 inches and just over 7 pounds. It was a beautiful, beautiful fish. So.
Wow.
It's awesome.
What a thrill.
Sam,
yeah,
so
it was fun being on there with him.
So last year this time you went up there and also hired a guy, and you got completely skunked. So what was different about this time?
You know what's funny is, you know, you go into this, like, you know, us three have gotten guides many times and had great success. And that last year, you know, up here, it was, you know, I was talking up the guide service to my cousin and brothers, and we did it. We got skunked. And
well, I can't believe driving to Leech Lake and not catching a fish. I would have gone crazy. That's a long ways to go.
Oh, yeah. And we went out this time, and you know what's funny is the first spot we go to was the spot we fished about 80% of the time last year with that guide. And it was just different, man. We pounded them, and we did try some different stuff, but it was a heck of a time, and we had an awesome guide. His name was Jim Sennenfelder. He's a 30-year retired state patrol. He's lived up here since, like, mid-90s and just guided on the side, and he's been full-time for a while, and just a good experience, you know, had a lot of fun. You know, he put us on fish right away, and, you know, he jumped onto our sense of humor right away and took us back to his house, cleaned the fish, gave us a beer. It was a good time.
I imagine anytime you're outside on the water, it's a good time. You know, whether you're catching fish or not, remember, it's the journey, not the destination, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's beautiful weather up here. I mean, yesterday it was, you know, we took off. It was 49, 50 degrees, got up to mid-60s, sunny. You know, today is 70 degrees and sunny. It was just a beautiful day. You know, like you said, it's truly fall up here with all the color changes already. So,
I have not been paying much attention to your conversation with these guys. Well, you might have answered this question. What was your presentation? What were you guys using, and all that kind of good stuff?
You know, we went completely old school. We drifted with a jig and a minnow.
Isn't that crazy? You know, we could have $5,000 of the tackle and stuff. Is always going back to a jig and a minnow. That's about it. It's the real world. That's funny.
That's literally all we did was drift, and we did the same thing and mixed up colors a little bit, and it was really, really fun watching Nick, my cousin, reel in that big fish, because you could tell it was a really, really nice fish. And the first thing Jim did, you know, is he went over to him, and Nick's not very experienced, but Jim treated him like it was awesome. Like it felt like it was his grandkid, and he was helping him. You know, it was really cool to have Nick do that and have Jim kind of, like, you know, guide him and feel like he was part of the family. So
did you get lucky and kind of snag into some big northerns or smallmouth bass or anything else as well?
No, so we caught primarily walleyes, and then obviously where a good walleye bite is, we caught a lot of perch too. Nothing besides perch and walleye. But I can tell you this, duck opener was very apparent.
were you getting peppered?
I didn't realize Leech Lake was it must be like a destination place for duck hunters, because my gosh, it is crazy the amount of action in the morning.
You know, I've never been on that lake, and Simone, you must have been on that lake, right? Leech Lake, have you not?
Yeah.
And I know it's a big, big body of water, so someone who's never been up there thinks of just a big, big body of open water without little pocket holes for people to go duck hunting, but obviously I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's 112,000 acres, and there's a lot of bays.
Yeah, a lot of bays.
So, I think with the water down, honestly, Stu, this year, the water's down, you know, that 20, 22 inches.
Yeah.
I think it's made a lot of the bays more almost like mucky, like a duck I feel it could like, and, you know, they can get in there with their boats and stuff. But, yeah, my gosh, I couldn't believe the shots. I was kind of like you, Stu. I just thought it was, you know, I thought it was like just a big body of water that, you know, people came and tried to catch muskies and walleyes, but there's a lot of duck hunters up here.
I'm glad you had a good time. We're going to back to Simone. We're not going for a break yet, are we?
No.
Yeah, we're going to go back to Simone and my buddy Mark here. Get back safely, and we'll see you next Sunday.
We'll see you Wednesday.
All right, that's right, Wednesday. Are you going Wednesday as well?
I am.
Okay, good for you guys. Goodbye.
I'll see you guys Wednesday. Sure, I'll see you next week, man. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Speaking of Wednesday, talk about it, Simone.
Well, we're heading out to the fields to do Reach for Resources. Mark and the Bob Country crew and I will all be there. I'm bringing my young lab out, and hopefully we're going to shoot some pheasants, walk some fields, and raise money for Reach for Resources.
Mark.
Speaking of that, I got a message from Jason Skoog, who organizes the whole thing, and he says, we have 15 tickets open for the morning and afternoon at Gold Medals. Sand Pines is sold out. $42,000 in prizes, including 12 guns, 2 trips, and a Big Frig cooler full of beer. Quarter of beef, pellet grill, 10 bird hunts, and more, and a silent auction. Can't make the hunt? You can bid on the silent auction. And there's a link on the Four Outdoorsman comment section under the shout outs, and you can bid on some of the stuff even if you're not there. So come join us, join me and Simone, and raise money for a great cause. It's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun last year. Had a great time hunting with you, and let's do it again.
Now, are you sure that you're going to be the person taking these guys out again, or are you going to be with somebody else probably?
No, I'm pretty sure Jason has us, the Bob crew, all together.
You know, celebrities
again.
Get together.
All the celebrities get together. So, go ahead, Mark.
Do you want me to finish the shout-outs?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a couple as well. But
thanks, everyone, for posting on the Four Outdoorsman shout-out. If you want to get on the show every week, just comment on our shout-out section, and we'll read it on air. We have a couple new ones here. Justin Hansen says, looks like Sam got out and fished again. The shout-out picture is one of Sam. Steve Renenberg, who we're going to talk about later, says, ducks and woodcock opener was excellent for many drought conditions, concentrated ducks and woodcock. Some lucky hunters had limits before the end of opening day. BWCA quota restrictions are lifted October 1st. Still need a permit for BWCA trips, but no restrictions on how many are issued. I mean, everyone can experience fantastic fall fishing in the BWG, which is just starting. Will Goble says, we got it done Saturday. I was even lucky enough to shoot a banded wood duck.
Yeah, good.
I'll have
him
to listen to the podcast later because I'm currently in the deer stand. Eloise Sumption said, fantastic. Guys are splitting wood, getting ready for deer camp.
Talking about, you know, Will Goble is a friend who's been on the show a number of times, 21, 22 years old, maybe a little bit older than that. He's a plumber by trade, and he works from 9 to 5, and he hunts and fishes from 6 to 10, 5-6 days a week, and he loves it, and good for him. You know.
He told me when you retire, he's taking your spot. He told me that.
He could do it. You know who could really do it is Nick, who was it? Was it Nick Johnson? Who's the caller?
Yeah. I can't. What was his name? I can't
remember. Yeah.
Nick Johnson. Johnson.
He was in studio. This man, he's about a month ago. The last day of Game Fair, he came and spent time in studio. Yeah. And we had him on, maybe 3-4 years ago as well. And there's nobody I don't think we've ever had on the show that is more fluent, very knowledgeable, easy to speak with, just a nice young man. And apparently he's a champion. He knows what the hell he's talking about. And he's just a really, really, really nice guy. He keep being. What's up, buddy?
No, I'm just giving the 1-minute signal.
All right. I'll do this first, but a little shout out to a guy named Earl Crane from the Minnesota Twins. I worked my last game on the 23rd, and Earl happened to be in the same section I was, and we talked about hunting and fishing, listened to the show, this kind of stuff, which is kind of cool. And I just told him I'd say hi. So hi to Earl, and have a. He's working the rest of this. He's got about 6 games left, and good for him. Go for it. I'm going to Utah. I got to read this real quick story. Can I do it? Minute and a half? My nephew Warren in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, has a cabin up there, had it for many, many years. Somebody moves in, like tree huggers, kind of, you know, from the cities, and think, oh, it'd be kind of fun to own a cabin. And she saw Warren out there shooting red squirrels. All of a sudden, she texts Warren, and she says, hi, neighbors, it's Sarah. Heads up, I just saw a juvenile raccoon shuffling around the outside of our garage, broad daylight. It has a very deformed face. One whole side seems like it's wounded but healed over, missing an eye. It looks like it's starving and sickly. I've seen a rabid raccoon before, but I don't think it was rabid since I didn't startle it. We don't have a gun here, but someone may want to put the poor thing out of its misery. And I'm thinking, and we're trying to, so Warren gets this. He's in the Twin Cities. He sends it to his other neighbor, Tim, and says, you know, what's she talking about? So Tim gets back to him, and I have to be careful here. There's some stuff in here, but I'll see. He said, he sounded like Alex Karras in Blazing Saddles. Remember that? Remember that movie? It's long before your time. He said, me big time hunter like my friend Warren, me killed nasty possum. It wasn't a raccoon. These folks, they have no idea what is going on. Me save my whole family from ugly little possum. Me went home feeling like I did a good job today. That kind of stuff. And there's more to it, which is something you can't read over the air, but it's very, very funny. But it's interesting when someone comes out and thinks a possum is a raccoon. Well, that's good. Get out there and experience life. But he saved his family's life. So good for them. Good for them. Be right back with
Jared Wickman.
I guess so. Pheasant Forever.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
Mark here, and soon the time will come to drop off my boat for a luxury winter spa vacation at Power Lodge. No, not mud baths and cucumbers. Expert winterization storage out of the elements for your boat, pontoon, or personal watercraft. There's still some fishing time left, but reserve your spot while there's room. Three locations ready to help you. Down the road from our studios off Highway 10 in Ramsey, Brainerd off Highway 371, and Onania off Highway 169. Online at powerlodge.com.
It's no secret that we love the city of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not just the thrill that comes with its unbelievable hunting and fishing, but everything that Devil's Lake has to offer. You can choose from nearly 30 restaurants, many hotel and motel options, a dozen campsites, theater, golfing, hiking, nearby casino, or just plain exploring. Walleyes and jumbo perch, well, they might draw you here, but Devil's Lake itself will keep you coming back. Hey, trust through me on this one. Visit devilslakend.com.
Clam Outdoors has something for every ice angler. Dave Gens created the original fish trap 40 years ago, and Clam continues to lead the industry with portable sled style and hub shelters today. Beyond ice shelters, Clam continues to bring new innovation and products to the sport. From ice fishing suits, cold weather gear, tackle, fishing line, accessories, rods, reels, and combos, and much more to add to your ice fishing arsenal. Check out the full line of ice fishing gear at clamoutdoors.com. Pursue the ice.
Next trip to Ely, Minnesota, Arrowhead Outdoors is a must. Arrowhead Outdoors, the largest, oldest, and only bait store in Ely, Minnesota that is open to serve you all year round with a massive selection of whatever you need. Hey, go to Arrowhead Outdoors. Every day on their site is an update of live bait in stock. I'll tell you what, that is slick, that is service, that'll save you time. And Chris and Steve are experienced, knowledgeable, friendly, and really excited to help you make your vacation the very, very best. Arrowhead Outdoors, Ely, Minnesota.
Good day, everyone. Pastor Joe here, and I'd like to remind you to tune in to Bob Total Country on Sunday mornings for Transformation Sunday at 8 a.m. The Word of God awaits you, and His love and peace and patience and kindness is so ever-present. Maybe we can brighten your day.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
If you think vaccines alone will protect you from COVID-19, think again. More breakthrough cases of COVID variants show that vaccinated people are still vulnerable. To be safe, monitor regularly for fever, as it's the leading sign of COVID-19. Use Exergen, the only thermometer scientifically proven to detect fever. Protect yourself and your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Panera believes in saying yes. Yes to clean, fresh ingredients. Yes to the new chicken sausage and pepperoni flatbread topped with rich mozzarella. Yes to delicious mac and cheese. Yes to putting it on a sandwich, creating the grilled mac and cheese sandwich. And yes to impromptu road trips to Sandwich, Illinois. Because that's living life to the flavor fullest. Get $1 delivery when you order on our app. Panera, live your yes. Pricing and product availability may vary. Visit PaneraBread.com.
Get a voucher for two tickets and two large popcorns valid at any Minnesota Imagine Theater for just $19. Details at DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Now back to the Plow World Power Equipment Studios.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back. Simone, Shira, Mark Lukey, Steve Strasinski, Nick Lukey, Brandon behind the glass, and Sam, of course, is fishing on Leech Lake, and more power to him. Get home safely, Sam. Jared Wicklund, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on tonight.
You bet. You'd be really busy. But I'll tell you what, you guys don't know this, but Jared Wicklund, every year for about 15 years now, I think, Outdoor News has had almost like a national racquetball tournament, and he has taken first place the last 4 years in the high B division. So congratulations, Jared, about that. Good for you, man.
Wow,
good for you.
Jared, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Are you a pickleball player, too?
You know, I've got a lot of family that do pickleball, but I sort of just stick to racquetball, stick to tennis. It's a good way to get a workout.
You know, as a matter of fact, I've known Jared for 4 or 5 years since being on the show. I met him the first time when I was in real estate, showing a property up in North Branch or something, and came across paths with him. I don't know the entire story. So we've been communicating all the time. But the story I just talked about with racquetball was a bunch of BS. I made it all up. But he's a really he loves to play racquetball, and I go to the YMCA in White Bear Lake as much as I possibly can. And as you can see, I got a body like Pee Wee Herman. We talk about that,
you're well put together, Steve.
Yeah,
come on,
God's been good to me, and I've got a lot of bruises and scars right about now. But I see a little notice from this guy wants to play racquetball anytime during the week. Maybe 11 to 1 midweek day, and this is Jared Wicklund. And I called him up, and I said, "Man, I just started playing again after 20 years. It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's a great game. And I was concerned about my knees. My knees didn't bother me at all. And I played with a bunch of old farts. I played with a guy named Mike Copeland, who is 83 years old. He was a professional baseball player with the Chicago White Cubs. He beats me all the time. He's wonderful." So I asked Jared, "Hey, Jared, come on, let's get together. Let's play a little bit." Well, he's been putting me off for the last 2 years. I may never get to play with you. So,
yeah. True. I've seen you on the weights. Your body is a temple, and that's why you're at the YMCA.
Yeah, I look like the guy with that commercial with the emo with the rubber band. So what's new? What's new in your world, Jared? What's new in your world?
You know, not much. I actually just got back this morning from an elk hunt with my father out west, and I ended up harvesting a cow. My dad shot a really nice bull, and that was kind of the start to my outdoor hunting season, fall season, and I'm just really looking forward to it. I came home, and the dogs weren't even excited to see me. They're just kind of staring me down from the kennel. They've been sitting there. They haven't been out for rough grouse or woodcock yet. They haven't been, you know, working much on pheasants. I gave them a run in the woods a couple weeks ago, but they're in good shape though. They're ready to go, and looking forward to the pheasant season coming up, and it's coming up quick.
Now we have Simone Shira in the studio tonight, and thanks for being here, Simone. But I tell you what, have you got any tips for Jared Wicklund about how he can take care of his dog and get ready for the season?
Well, it sounds like Jared, you have your dogs all exercised and ready to go. Do you run them daily?
Yeah, I've got 10 acres at our house here, and we actually border a wildlife management area right out my back door. So, you know, once we get into August and we get a little bit cooler mornings, I take them running. I take them running with me. I do a little 3-mile jaunt down the road up to the wildlife area and back, and we go up to the cabin quite a bit, which is just north of Hinckley, Minnesota. Up to the cabin that's right on the lake, and they get a lot of water exercise too. So yeah, they're in they stay in pretty good shape throughout the year. I cut back their food a little bit during the really hot parts of summer, simply because they don't need the calories at that time. So it's worked out well for me and allows to keep them at a great weight pretty much year round.
Well, it sounds to me you're ready to go. So, but I'm ready to go too here in October to open up this pheasant opener. What is the pheasant count looking like with this hot summer that we've had?
You know, I think kind of what we've been saying lately with our pheasant hunting forecast that we just published about a week or two ago is that, you know, drought hasn't dried up the pheasant prospects. It's been concerning to a degree because we came out of last winter and early spring in really, really good shape. People are seeing the most pheasants they've ever seen on the landscape, especially in Minnesota, in quite a long time. Then you get to a really hot part of the summer. I mean, the hottest part of the summer, chicks are hatching and you're worried about bug production. But there's a few things that went on. So number one, the counts and the DNR and a lot of different natural resource agencies have said that the counts are probably thrown off by the amount of smoke and haziness that we had. We just didn't have a lot of dew on the ground. So that's one thing. The other would be is that there's been a huge, despite the drought conditions, we had a huge grasshopper hatch this year from Minnesota through the Dakotas, even all the way out to eastern Montana. And I'm hearing from a lot of people that have been sharp-tailed grouse hunting in a number of different states that they're seeing a decent number of pheasants despite what some of the reports are saying. So I think it's going to be a good year. You know, people are obviously, there's been haying and grazing going on of CRP, which is sort of a lifeline for farmers and ranchers. So there's going to be less habitat on the landscape. The birds are going to be more concentrated. And I really think late season this year, you get into late season, hunt once you get some snow and some cold temperatures, people are going to have some lights out pheasant hunting, especially late season this year.
Hey, Jared, Mark here. So are the grasshoppers, is that good for pheasant counts or bad? I'm not sure.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
What's that?
Is that,
again,
are the grasshopper, high grasshopper counts, is that good for pheasant numbers or bad? I'm not sure.
So, you know, it really comes down to bug production. When you have as dry of conditions that we had, the biggest concern is that you lose your moisture. You lose your bug production, which those little chicks rely on. Mm-hmm. For 100, they eat 100% soft-bodied insects for protein during their first, you know, 6, 8, 10 weeks of life. And if they can get past that point, it was still dry outside, but that grasshopper hatch really started over a month ago, at least probably 2 months ago. And we think that, you know, from all the reports we've seen, and like I said, people sharp-tailed grouse hunting, those grouse broods that people are running into and having a chance to harvest, they're just full of grasshoppers. And that's going to be the same way for pheasants, too. They can't necessarily eat a full grasshopper right out of the egg, but you get a couple weeks down the line, and those grasshoppers become a really big food source for all sorts of wildlife, including upland birds.
You know, I've heard that the pheasant population had increased last year, like in 2019 to 2020, at about 40% in the state of Minnesota, I believe. That's a lot. So why are we concerned about the pheasant population now if we had such an increase last year? And were we that far behind?
Yeah, no, not really. Not necessarily concerned about it. I mean, it's all a factor of weather and available habitat. When we have average weather in this state and every other state across pheasant country, plus we get more grassland acres on the landscape, pheasants respond in a very positive manner. So like I said, I mean, I think the counts to some degree are a little bit skewed downward this year just because it was so dry during roadside counts, which, you know, biologists and Pheasants Forever volunteers even go out and try to do some of the roadside counts, and they really rely on dew in the morning. Those hens bring their broods out to the road to get counted because they're drying off on the roadside. And this year, with the conditions the way they were, they really didn't have to come out to the roadside all that often. So I heard mixed reviews in a lot of different locales, not just in Minnesota, but across the pheasant country in general. So I do think people are going to be surprised what they see in a positive way when they get out in the grasslands this year and get after it in mid-October.
You know, and private land donations, I think, have increased by about 10 to 15,000 acres as well. There's a lot of room out there. Hey, explain the I think it's called the walk-in thing. What is that? What is that walk-in?
Walk-in areas.
Yeah, explain it. Yep. Simone, you can share that.
Well, I think Jared has it probably more of an aspect of it than I do, but it's public hunting areas that are open to obviously the public, and you can walk in, meaning there's a special designated parking area, and you can walk in and do some pheasant hunting. Is that, am I kind of there, Jared?
Yep. So it's I don't want to say it, the same term as what they have in North Dakota, but it's basically, it's private lands that are open up to hunters for the hunting season. So basically, a lot of the lands that are enrolled, they look for property that already has conservation reserve program acres enrolled on it, so grasslands. And so they go and visit the state agencies, even Pheasants Forever across the country helps sign up a lot of walk-in acres in various states, including Minnesota. But basically, they have a pot of money, and they offer a stipend to landowners per acre, just depending on where they are and what kind of habitat they have to sign up for the program. And then hunters have to have a walk-in validation, which, you can put me on the spot, I can't remember. I think it's either $3 or $5. And as long as you have that walk-in validation, you can hunt those areas throughout the year. And a lot of them are in western and southwest Minnesota, and they are really incredible pheasant habitat. They do get hit pretty hard, but depending on the day of the week that you go, looking at the tracks that are going in there from vehicles and making a determination, a lot of those parcels are going to hold quite a few pheasants.
You know,
it's a great program.
Go ahead, Mark.
So, Jared, is that easier for people to do than like a CRP where they have to, enroll long-term? Is this like a short-term thing where a farmer could do it for 1 year or something like that?
I think there's a minimum term you have to sign up for. It's a couple years, but yeah, once you're enrolled in CRP, you can call and have somebody come out and check you out for the program. And I know they've done some door knocking as well. For parcels that look pretty good. And there's some I've seen last summer. I went out and I was taking pictures of all the wildlife management areas and waterfowl production areas that Pheasants Forever has helped purchase since 1982 in Minnesota, over 60,000 acres. And there's a lot of walk-in lands that are enrolled next to public lands, wildlife management areas and waterfowl production areas. So they look for that too. The idea is to try to make complexes, because those complexes are what are producing a lot of pheasants and also getting a lot of pheasants through the harsh winter season that we have here in the state.
I'll ask this question to both Simone and Jared Wickland. He's with the Pheasants Forever. Again, give me your title, your communications director. What is your position, please?
Public relations manager.
Yeah, good enough. Yeah, that's a big name, man.
So you got to talk to chumps like us all the time.
Yeah, he's a big shot. He's a big shot. Hey, I was going through all the rules of the laws of pheasant hunting in the state of Minnesota, and I didn't know, and maybe you must know, and maybe Simone probably knows as well, that you could actually hunt pheasants, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, hunt pheasants in the state of Minnesota with a .22. Do you know that? And if that's correct, which it is, obviously, just said so, then have you ever seen anyone do it, and have you done it, and would you do it, and why do it?
I honestly never have seen anybody try it. I'm not sure I would. I mean, as a guy that hunts with dogs, and it's different for everybody, obviously stick to trying to make sure you've got the skyline in sight when a rooster's getting up and that type of thing. I don't know. I mean, it might be fun to try. Simone, have you ever witnessed that before, done it yourself?
You know, I've never. Not with a .22, but I have witnessed with a bow and arrow.
Really? That's
oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Were they successful?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
What a thrill. In the air, they were
in
successful.
In the air with the bow and arrow.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Mark.
I'll tell you, I wish I had a .22. One time when I was walking in a land by my wife's farm, because I do not have a dog, right? And when you don't have a dog, they just run away from you. They do not fly whatsoever a lot of times. They'll just run down a path. So here I'm with my shotgun, and it's like, if I had a .22, that would be a dead pheasant.
And you would shoot a pheasant while it's on the ground.
If I don't have a dog,
I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed.
If it's legal, I mean.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. Here's a trivia question for all of you guys, and maybe Jared knows this as well. I cheated. I got this from the Outdoor News today. How many non-resident licenses do we normally sell in the state of Minnesota? for pheasants?
Well, Jared should know that.
Throw a number out there.
God, put me on the spot. Trivia. I don't know. Oh, I wish I was sitting in front of a computer right now. I'm overlooking the beautiful wildlife management area off my porch. Not as many as we used to sell.
Well, I'll tell you this. The answer is 1,500. That's not very many. That tells me a lot of people emigrating to other states and immigrating to the state of Minnesota to
they give our gas stations money while they go to the Dakotas.
1,500 doesn't seem like a lot. Hey, I'll tell you what, young man, we'll ask one more question here. Give us a tip. Let's say someone's going to start hunting pheasants the first time this year and don't have any particular private properties to go. Give them some tips what they should do.
You know, first of all, look at good maps. So if you don't have it, the Onyx Hunt app is a great one to have. You can use code pheasant and save 20%. It shows all the public lands in Minnesota, including walk-in areas. They've got different layers that you can use. The DNR, Minnesota DNR also has a great map. You can get on there as well. When you do go and hunt, I like to not park at the only parking spot available. You know, try to find a different access point to specific pieces of property to get more towards the back. As birds get pressured, they go to areas where they don't see as many people. So those would probably be my top two right there.
That's a good young man. Hey, I'll tell you what, we're going to wrap this up. Jared, Pheasants Forever, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman, and thanks for being such a friend of the show. And we'll meet you on the racquetball court. I'll tell you what, I'll play you left-handed for a bite and a beer for lunch. How does that sound?
I'll take you up on that bet.
He's left-handed, great. Jared.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good season hunting, Jared.
Thank you. You as well.
Yeah, thanks. Take care of yourself, young man. That's a good guy right there. That's a good guy right there. Now, you knew that tip, right? That's a good tip. I wouldn't have figured that out, but thanks to Jared for being on the 4 Outdoors. We'll be right back with us. It's that time of the year, and Devil's Lake is the destination. I'm thinking of fall walleyes in the morning, bird hunting in the afternoon, and a ribeye steak in the evening. Devil's Lake, North Dakota just might be the premier city in the country for multi-species hunting and fishing all in the same trip. Hey, we're blessed to make a couple of trips to Devil's Lake every year. It truly is an outdoor lover's Disney World. Bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your golf clubs, bring your family. Visit devilslakend.com.
DeZiel Heating and Air Conditioning has let the dogs out, and their two-fur deal is back. If your furnace and air conditioner are over 10 years old, they could roll over and break down. Let DeZiel help you fetch a free air conditioner with their two-fur deal. For a limited time, when you purchase a furnace, you get a free AC unit with a free UV package. DeZiel Heating and AC, serving Wright County and the West Metro. Details online at DeZielHVAC.com. That's DeZielHVAC.com.
Hey, thanks to the firefighters, Ely, Minnesota is completely open. Thank God for the firefighters. Hey, with 3 million acres of public land all around Ely, the opportunities are endless. BWCA trips, grouse numbers are high, fall colors are mesmerizing, and fishing is at its best. And permits for the boundary waters are not required as of October 1st, and yes, you can hunt in the BWCA. If you don't hunt or fish, well, the little town of Ely all by itself is well worth the visit. Experience the spirit of Ely, Minnesota.
Mark here, and it's been an honor for us here at the 4 Outdoorsmen to partner with Clam Outdoors. We trust Clam with our safety by wearing suits with motion float technology. We use fish traps by the company that started it all, and Clam Pro Tackle is simply the best in the business. Most of all, the pros and employees at Clam have become great friends over the years, and great people make a great company. Visit clamoutdoors.com and join the family.
Get ahead of the game and get your ATV trailer into Crystal Welding for repairs before hunting season. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove services all trailers. Crystal Welding is also your local Hinneker dealer, carrying Hinneker snowplows and winter accessories. Get your repairs scheduled now and be prepared for the season before it starts. Stop in to schedule or go to crystalwelding.com for more information.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small.
Want to enjoy the outdoors? Forget bird watching or walking around on your own 2 feet like a sucker. The best way to entertain the fam is start ripping around on a new ATV or boat with help from my friends at Power Lodge.
For over 20 years, Power Lodge has sold and serviced boats, ATVs, UTVs, sleds, golf carts, and now Rambo electric bikes. Make your next outdoors experience great at Power Lodge, three locations in Ramsey, Brainerd, and Onamia, or online at powerlodge.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Laughing and learning on the Four Outdoors with the gang here. Simone Scherer is our special in-studio guest tonight. Again, thanks to you, Simone, for being so nice. And I know you've been working really, really hard.
Yes, I am working hard all the time, and I hope my dad is listening so he knows that.
I'll tell him. Yes. I see him every dang day.
I think there has been a question out there about my dogs. So I do not, I did have a dog that was related to Raven, and he lived to be 14 years old. The dog, I have two now. I have a yellow that was given to me by Lorelei Delaney, who has sadly recently passed away. And then I have a young 2-year-old black lab, and her name is Raya, not Raven, Raya. So yes, but we are a lab family for sure.
Why the name Raya? Where did that come from? There's gotta be a story.
You know, it was short. It was, quick, and also in the hopes of that, I guess we're going to have a little secret out of this. When we had original Raven, and then we had Raven number two, Raven number two's name, her call name was Rio. Because we had Raven, and then we had Rio. Mm-hmm. But when Raven had passed, it was an name that we could transfer her over to right. Now start calling Raven. So Rio then became Raven, and then Raven two had Robin. And then Robin became Raven. And then now I have a Raya that my hopes and dreams is that eventually my dad would still continue with the Raven and we could transfer her over into that. But
good for you.
I hope so,
we'll
too.
We'll see. I agree. But we'll see. But she'll attend some kids fishing stuff and things like that. So if she does and she's sitting there as a Raven, she will still, with a Raya Raven, she'll still... listen to that name.
Hooyah. How about Hooyah? We can name a Hooyah.
No. Well, my Raven son was a Hoosier.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, do a couple of shout-outs, and I'm going to ask Simone to talk about something that's kind of dear to her heart.
A couple more shout-outs here. Corey Bechtold says, my good friend Andrew testing out the Macula Tackle for me. I think he likes it. Full report on what's working now. Mike Rogers says, just kicking it at Rustic Meadows Campground. My friend Brian Amberg says, the dude put on a clinic on duck hunting. He limited out in 1 hour. The rest of us were... merely retrievers. And Jody Oftedal says, way to go, guys. I also want to give a shout out to Bill Katz, who I talked to this morning, and he's going to be sponsoring our show for the next 4 months.
That's because I put the pressure on him.
Bill Katz with Katz Covers, thank you so much for everything.
Yeah, boy, Bill. All right, you mentioned the name a little bit, Lorelei.
Yes.
All right, now I know that she was somebody pretty special in your life from the day you were a little kid, is from what I understand, and she just passed away. Tell us. All about her, your memories, what was special about her as to you as much as everybody else?
Well, I think, Stru, you could probably say some more of her accomplishments because she was a worldwide renowned shooter, a woman shooter, and very successful at it. Her family was originally from Ramsey Armstrong family. They had the Armstrong Kennels. And my parents are very good friends of Chuck and Lorelei. And so when I was little, Lorelei was training dogs, and that was a passion of mine. So a lot of times she would have me over and give me some dog training tips. And she would often was working with Chesapeakes. And she let me bring a Chesapeake home and do some training with it. And things like that. And then there are times that I've gone hunting with her. She has taught me how to shoot. She definitely was a very big mentor to me in the outdoor world. As when I had started around 10, 12 years old, there wasn't very many women that were out hunting. So
right.
When I would tag along with my dad, I was the only girl that would be that was with. So she definitely is someone special to my family as well, and she was diagnosed 2 years ago with breast cancer and fought a very, 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 very hard battle. She's into horses. She hunts by horseback. She's traveled the world. She and her husband have been together for 62 years, Chuck, and so it's a huge, huge loss to us and to him as to everyone. She was a great mentor.
Well, they were married for about 62 years, I think is what you mentioned. They spent literally every day of their lives together. Would you please, to those folks who don't know who Lorelai Delaney is, tell them about her connection to, of course, Armstrong and all that stuff. You know?
Yeah, well, Chuck and Lorelai are the owners of Game Fair. Game Fair has been around for about 40 years in the Anoka area. And Lorelai's father had started Armstrong Ranch and Kennels. And how Chuck and Lorelai had met is Lorelai was doing stage shows at the Northwest Sports Show. She was running a dog handling act. And Chuck was, I believe, managed a show in Chicago.
Correct.
And that's where the two of them have met, and soulmates for sure, and hunting wise, and spent every day together.
You know, she's like a grandma to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I know this is hard for you, and thanks for sharing those stories. You talked about some of her accommodations, whatever, accomplishments. At the age of 5 was the first time she ever performed at the Northwest Sports Show. At the age of 6, training Labradors, I believe at that time, she had the most popular show at the entire Northwest Sports Show. She was invited brought into the Trap Shooting Hall of Fame in 1989. She's won over 50 trophies nationally. She has won competitions against 4,000 competitors. There's just too many accomplishments here, even it says in the Outdoor News, to mention, because she did so much for so many. Yes. And a special lady, apparently. I wish I could have met her myself. And I bet it's probably hard for your old man as well.
Oh, absolutely it is. And for my mother, they would travel to Florida together and things like that. And the truth is, Lorelai was actually a very shy woman, very quiet. But once you got to know her, she just had a heart of gold and loved every animal out there and loved training, doing tricks and the training. And she would have 14-week-old puppies doing hand signals. I mean, she was definitely gifted for sure.
Here's the kind of lady this lady was when she was a lot younger, of course, maybe in her mid-20s, early 30s, before women in the industry like you, they weren't there, and she was one of the first. She took 3 or 4 of the ladies. She's got a big bull moose. Is it? No, it's an elk hanging on the wall at their place, probably at the ranch. You probably know which one it is. And she took three or four ladies, on a 14-day archery hunt in Montana with 3 other women all by themselves. That is a special woman. Holy buckets. Holy buckets. But condolences and prayers for her family and yours as well. And thanks for all you've done for hunting for women and men. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, Drew, before we go, we have a couple of minutes here. We have to hear about your trip up north. It looked fantastic. The pictures were awesome. Thank you so much. We started a TikTok. I put some stuff on TikTok. We're hip, like all the kids.
Oh, jeez. Are you a TikTok
Instagram
person, Simone?
I love TikTok.
You know what? I've got friends of mine now who are my age. We're hooked on it. Yeah. Everything's only about 5-10 seconds, whatever they are, right?
They've expanded it now, so you can actually go up to 3 minutes.
But
some people are so creative and funny, and I had to limit myself.
I downloaded it this week, right? And for however long it's been, I've made fun of people, right? It's like, how can you spend your time doing that? It is so addictive. It is like, you can't stop seeing all the stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a TikTok now. There's videos of Stru catching fish. Tell us about your trip. You were fishing rivers.
Yeah, never did that before.
Off Lake Superior. It looked beautiful. Tell me what you did.
Steve Renderberg his lady friend Chris Winkleman own Arrowhead Outdoors Bait and Tackle Shop and Camping Shop in Ely, Minnesota. It's one of our sponsors, and we've had an opportunity to, through developing relationships, do stuff. And I'm being retired. I get to do stuff because I can go. Mark Canny's got 3 kids. Sam's got 4. I get to go. So my buddy Mark, Bob, and I went up, and we just said, "You just take us where you want to go. I don't care if it's smallmouth, walleye." He said, "I'll tell you what, the salmon should be running right now in the rivers by Superior." So I'm going to drive up to Ely and drive another hour back down to Superior to go. Let's give it a shot. And I never did that. I've never seen anyone actually do that. But the salmon are running, and it's really cool. These were, they call them coasters, I think. Is that what they're called? No, they're not coasters.
Coho.
No, it wasn't coho. We didn't see any coho.
Pink Salmon.
Yeah, Pink Salmon, but there's another nickname for him. But Pink Salmon was, and we saw brookies. That's about all the kind of fish we saw, but you actually saw them coming upriver, and the rivers were no wider than this room right here. And they are going up now. It was just early in the run. So we saw them all the time, but not covering the entire river like a lot of people said happens sometimes.
Like you see in Alaska when it's like you could walk across their backs.
Yeah. And we caught enough. We caught plenty, but not as much as I thought we would, because those fish were fighting with each other for spawning beds and everything, more so than being interested in eating a jig in a plastic on it. But it was such a cool experience because you could see them. And listen to this. I never thought about this. Steve Renneberg said, hey, listen, what do I bring? What kind of clothes? Just make sure you bring camouflage. I'm going fishing, not hunting. Trust me. If you see them, they're going to see you. And I talked to someone else about it who was wearing camouflage as well. He says, absolutely. If you're doing this kind of stuff, you're on the shore and you're just like flipping, you know, like a jig 4 or 5 feet into the river and try to get them right in front of them. And they see you at the same time. But it was
so
really.
Was that Chinook salmon that you were catching?
No.
Don't look at me. I wasn't there.
Has to be.
No, I'll think of it. Go ahead. It's not red.
I was going to say, one of the coolest videos you sent me. You guys caught a fish.
Pink salmon. What's a pink salmon?
I already said that.
Okay.
You caught a fish. You were reeling it in. It was releasing its eggs, and the other fish were eating all the eggs.
I took a video.
That was really cool.
They were right on it. This brookie was only like 6 inches. The fish we were catching might be 15, 16 inches, which is a nice pink salmon. And but Steve picks one up, and he's got this. And it was a female, obviously, and she decides to lay some eggs on his legs, you know. And so he wipes himself off and just puts the eggs right in the water. Within 2 seconds, there's a brook trout there trying to
eat him.
Yeah. And so he put his hand in the water 3 times, literally had that fish 3 times, but never could bring it up just for the hell of it. But that was interesting. Nature is so interesting. Now, as much as I loved catching the fish, and it was frustrating because they're smarter than we are, obviously. Yeah. And Bob Krejci was really frustrated, a good fisherman that I know. And he was more patient than I. After 15, 20 minutes of this, I'm going to take a hike, you know. And I put my stuff down, and I started taking photographs. It was beautiful. Just up by Lake Superior, and the sun coming up, all that kind of stuff.
Leaves changing.
Oh, God, it was beautiful. And every river we went to had waterfalls. So the fish would go up as far as they could. You see them kind of bouncing to the right. They couldn't go any further, and that's where you're supposed to be fishing, which we did, and we did fine. But some of the waterfalls. There's so much beauty in the state of Minnesota that people don't realize because they sit on their asses and stay around the 7-county metropolitan area.
Like me.
It's, you know, like Marky, yeah. But
did you eat any?
No, but I gave them all to Steve and his family up there.
Do you not like salmon?
Love salmon. I love fish. I love anything.
Well, then I would have, that's freshwater salmon.
Oh, yeah. And he said, you can tell, they go up there, of course, to spawn and die.
Right.
And so these, he said, well, this is a lot. This one's fresh. This one's good. And this one, you can see a little older, beat up, chewed up, and all that. You could just tell, you know. And so we knew the day, by the end of the day, knew which was a good fish, which was not a good fish. But I didn't feel like cleaning. By the time we got back, we got up at 4:30 in the morning at the Hunting Shack, the Polish Palace on Mud Creek Road, Bob and I, and God, the cabin's nice up there. I'm just so glad we're still hanging on to that thing. Drove to Ely, which is about a half an hour from the Hunting Shack. Drove down to Lake Superior and started doing our things. We got back about 8:30 at night, and it's a long day on the water, you know. Although we did make it up to Grand Marais, which is a beautiful town. Mm-hmm. It had stopped at a couple restaurants and bars. It was just
Sven and Ollie's Pizza? Did you get a pizza?
Yes, I've done that before, though. I was up there once before, and that is the place. It's just a great experience, you know, and it's... I say it all the time, and I mean it all the time. It's not just the destination. It's the journey, the whole picture. Whether you catch a fish or not, just the entire learning experience was really a lot of fun for me.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. What do you got, Mark?
Well, we only got 1 minute left, so let's thank our guests. And you're going to be gone next week.
I'm going to be taking a train ride with my beautiful wife to Utah, Bryce Canyon, Zion National Park, and hiking a little bit, you know, and that kind of thing. And I'll find out a good place for a cocktail. I'm sure about that. I'm sure you will. I know you want. I'm going to call in, whether you like it or not.
Well, I want you to.
Yeah.
And he can tell you how many pheasants he missed and how many I hit.
And where's he going to be shooting those pheasants?
We are going to be up at the Sandpine Pheasants in Avon and also at Golden Meadows with the Reach for Resources group, raising money for people with mental disabilities and more.
Well, that's thanks to Jason Scoop for all the stuff he does, man. It's a big, big deal.
He works hard. He is every sports show or event I've seen Jason at. So kudos to him for doing such a great job. But I'm excited. Hopefully I can walk. I get a shot Tuesday. I'll be up and around.
Yeah, you look like Tim Conway. I'll tell you what. Thanks for Simone Sherry. Yeah, you do. Yeah, Simone Sherry. Thanks for being on the show, and Jared Wicklund from Pheasants Brother. Nick Lukey, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman, young man. Everybody have a safe week. In the meantime, my buddy Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.